KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 5 degrees above zero on this Thanksgiving Day, and we look forward to be partly sunny, a high of 25. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Well, Governor Terry Branstad will be hosting his family's Thanksgiving celebration today.
Thanksgiving is a special holiday. It's truly an American holiday where we really celebrate the founding of our nation, the pilgrims coming to America, and the hardships that they overcame.
He says the holiday is a time to reflect on what we have.
I think it's also an important time for us to just say thanks to everyone that's done so much to give us the freedoms and the opportunities that we enjoy in this country, especially our military veterans.
The governor will be joined by his wife, Chris, his kids and grandkids, and some special friends for the holidays, and he has this message for Iowans.
We wish a very blessed and enjoyable Thanksgiving to all Iowa families.
Branstad pardoned two turkeys earlier this week in an annual ceremony, but he does plan to have the traditional turkey on his plate for the big dinner.
I'm a white meat eater, so my role is carving the turkey. Chris basically prepares it, and I carve it. But we have other members of the family bring other food items as well.
The governor is attending the annual community Thanksgiving service at the Plymouth Congregational Church in Des Moines today, where parishioners dress in period garb, and that service begins at 10 a.m. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Villisca man Wednesday afternoon. 23-year-old Jeremy Scott Dolph was arrested on charges of domestic abuse from a reported incident the evening of November 25th. Dolph was being held on $300 bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office is reporting the arrest of an Essex man. The report received stated a 37-year-old Alan Burneson had followed an individual to his residence in the Bartlett area off of Exit 42 on Interstate 29 and would not leave. When officers arrived, they observed Burneson sitting in his vehicle nearby and left upon their arrival. Burneson was stopped and found to be in possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. He was subsequently arrested for both charges. And Burneson is being held in the Fremont County Jail on $1,300 bond. The Glenwood Police Department reported yesterday the arrest on Tuesday of a woman wanted on a warrant. 25-year-old Esperanza Cadena of Glenwood was arrested on a Mills County warrant for OWI first offense. Her bond was set at $1,000. Patrons of the Red Oak Community School District will be able to participate in the district's facilities planning process during a regular meeting of the Red Oak School Board on December 15th. Beginning at 6 p.m. in the Red Oak Technology Center. The Daily Nonpareil reports the district's facility planning process, known as Tiger Vision, accelerated after Red Oak Community Middle School was temporarily shut down over the Labor Day weekend. Facility recommendations were made in September, and the board has since mulled how it wants to proceed on the project that could include a $12.5 million high school addition. The addition would make room for middle schoolers in the current high school classrooms. Tiger Vision proposes consolidating the district into a two-building campus instead of having separate standalone buildings across the city for preschool, kindergarten through grade 3, grades 4, grades 5, and 6 through 8, and grades 9 through 12. Superintendent Terry Schmidt told the paper in an email that no decision would be made concerning Tiger Vision until another opportunity is given for public input, questions, or concerns. If the recommendations were adopted following the public hearing next month, the Red Oak Community High School would receive an addition that would provide a modern high school space. The elementary grades would see an addition and renovation of Inman Elementary School, located only a block away from the high school, along with a new intermediate school. Total costs for the Tiger Vision projects are between $23 and $27 million. Schmidt has said the district believes it could use its physical plant and equipment levy, or PEPL, and the state sales tax proceeds to do the high school component without the need to issue a general obligation bond, which would require a 60% supermajority approval from district voters. The Cass County Board of Supervisors had a very brief meeting Wednesday morning here in Atlantic. The board approved a livestock facility construction evaluation resolution, commonly known as the Master Matrix. Auditor Dale Sunderman pointed out that they typically wait until after the first of the year to act on the resolution, but the Iowa State Association of Counties, or ISAC, sent the information and forms out early. He also said the county's approval of the Master Matrix doesn't guarantee livestock confinement facilities' applications with the DNR will be denied or approved based on the scoring of the matrix.
The DNR doesn't have to listen to us, but at least they are basically obligated to listen to what the local officials say that they may bring up points that they're unaware of. And especially if you find by doing the matrix or the point rating, that if it comes up that they don't pass that point rating, then there's pretty good sign that DNR won't agree with the two until those things are reconciled.
Cass County Supervisor Dwayne McFadden mentioned that the Iowa DNR in August of this year issued construction permits for the Circle G and Geidel pork sites near Orient, despite the Adair County Board of Supervisors' rejection of the application based on the master matrix.
I think Adair County didn't give them all the points, but then when the DNR went over, they raised it. I mean, the board voted it down twice, but the DNR gave the go-ahead.
They had passed the resolution, and so they had looked at it. But what they do sometimes is it gets the contractor or the person that's putting in the facility to change a few things on what they're doing to try to, well, basically move up their point rate.
The Geidel brothers said each wanted to double their hog operations from 2,500 head to 5,000 head. In other business, the board heard an update from Cass County Engineer Charles Marker with regard to various secondary roads department activities. Marker says as far as the bridge on the Cass-Montgomery County line is concerned, east abutments have been completed.
That's where the bridge begins. There are only abutments on this particular bridge. There will be no piers in the middle of the water. But they have the piles driven, and what they do is then pour concrete over the pile caps for what they call a pile cap support.
AM Coron is the contractor for that project. Work is also nearly finished, he said, on the Interstate 80 bridge at the Marnie exit.
They have poured the concrete approaches to the bridge and the concrete guardrails on the bridge, so they're proceeding on it. There'll be some other incidental work, such as the metal guardrails to put on it, and then, of course, temporary seating and things like that, but I would think it'll be open shortly.
Elsewhere in the news this morning, the Omaha World Herald reports three Republicans have announced that they'll seek the Iowa Senate seat being vacated by Joni Ernst, who won election to the U.S. Senate earlier this month. Once Ernst resigns from her state Senate seat, Governor Terry Branstad will call for a special election to fill the vacancy. State Representative Mark Costello of Rural Imogene, Fremont County Board Member Kara Marker-Morgan of Hamburg, and Clarinda School Board Member Seth Watkins have all announced their candidacies. Governor Terry Branstad faced hours of questions under oath about his administration's treatment of a gay former state administrator. The governor was being questioned in a deposition Wednesday by an attorney for Chris Godfrey, the former Workers' Compensation Commissioner. Godfrey has filed a lawsuit against Branstad and his aides, alleging that he was singled out for harsh treatment because he's openly gay. He contends that Branstad demanded his resignation in 2011 and that the governor cut his pay by $40,000 when he refused to quit. Godfrey had been confirmed by the Iowa Senate for a six-year term. He argued his job was independent from political pressure so that injured workers could get fair hearings. Branstad has denied discrimination. His lawyers say the resignation request was routine and the pay cut was legal. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.